604, because tonight we've got a very special interview with one of our, when I say our, I mean me as in me locally, because I am out of Colorado, and I've got a Colorado candidate on the line tonight willing to give an interview to talk to you in Colorado, and because it was rumored to me that this man that I have on the line, his name is John Lyons, that he is a true conservative, and I'm going to ask him the questions tonight to see if he can prove to me that he is a true conservative. And with no further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Lyons to the phone. Welcome, Mr. Lyons. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I appreciate having you. I'm always welcome to interviewing great conservatives across this nation, but especially across the greatest state in the entire nation, that would be the great state of Colorado. So thank you for stepping up to represent conservatives in Colorado. But first, we've got to prove that you are a conservative. Are you up for the challenge?
Sure.
All right. Now, I hear that you started off just like pretty much everyone else. You just a regular guy going about your business, and you know, at some point in your life, you decided to run for office. And so I'm sure since you've walked the walk that most of us have walked for most of your life, you probably understand how a lot of people are really starting to get kind of fed up with politicians these days, because they say a lot of great things to get elected, but once they get elected, all that stuff seems to go out the window. What are your thoughts on that, sir?
Well, I've been asked a question before about who's going to keep me accountable. And my answer to that is there's going to be three people that's going to keep me accountable. The first one is the voters. If I don't keep my promises and be conservative, then I expect them to vote me out. The second group that's going to keep me accountable is my close friends and my church group. I expect them to make sure that I do what I say, and if they don't, I hope they call me onto the carpet about it. And the third group that's going to keep me accountable is myself. You know, because at the end of the day, I have to live with myself, and if I don't do what I promise and don't do what I expect of myself, then I expect myself and my God to keep me accountable.
All right. Well, we will do that. We'll keep you accountable. And one of my things that I've always said is that politicians oftentimes, pardon me, at this point, I don't consider you a politician. I just consider you a man running for office. So this isn't necessarily correct.
I don't consider myself a politician either.
Okay. Well, what I hear from, you know, what I've felt about people is the reason why a lot of politicians are less than honest is because the American people don't want to elect an honest man, because they don't like to hear the truth. They like to hear what they want to hear. And so it's partially our fault that these guys and gals are not honest with us. So, you know, we are equally to blame for that. We can't just blame the politicians, because it's also our fault. So, on to the next question. Talk to me, sir, if you will, about illegal immigration. What are your thoughts, and do you have plans to work on that issue?
Well, the problem with illegal immigration is you can't pick up and get rid of, an estimated 500,000 illegal aliens here in the state of Colorado? I'm not quite sure. The problem that you have is you just can't pick up 500,000, let's say, people and move them somewhere else, because where are they going to go? What you need to do is make it difficult for them to get jobs, to, you know, get higher education at a cheaper cost, you know, and they need to find a way to actually become legal. I'm all for legal immigration, but as far as illegal, I mean, how fair is it to the people who struggled and worked hard to become U.S. citizens? It's not fair, and everybody's talking about fairness this day, you know, this time. And, you know, we need to make it fair to the people who actually struggled and worked hard and became U.S. citizens, and they pay taxes and they do the right thing. And, you know, it's just a shame that some cities like Boulder are welcoming people in you know, illegal aliens into the city and trying to help them out, but, you know, you're really not doing anything really good for them. You know, you're not teaching them the respect for the rule of law. And that, to me, is a problem.
And what about the people, you know, that are here, that just because they were born here or because they came here as legal immigrants who worked hard to become, you know, legal, and you're taking away a lot of their benefits as well, or their opportunities when you help out those who had no respect for the law. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
My next question is, I have two issues that are very near and dear to my heart. All of these issues are near and dear to my heart, but there are two that are really, really top of the list for me as a voter. And so, of course, I have to ask you about them. What is your stance on abortion? Is there ever a time when you think abortion should be allowed, or are you semi-pro abortion? What is your stance on that?
Well, the thing about abortion, and I'm not saying all women do this, but there's a portion of them that use abortion as a contraceptive device, and there's absolutely no excuse for that. I mean, with birth control and with all the methods available, there's absolutely no excuse for using abortion as a contraceptive device. I tend to think that in cases of rape and incest, I would probably, you know, be for, I would hope that the woman would choose to bring the child to term, but I don't know. I struggle with this issue, especially, you know, because it's a hard thing to do, because as a small government conservative, you know, do I have the right to tell somebody what to do with their body? But as a Christian, you know, I know that all life is sacred. And so, you know, I wrestle with this: in what instances does abortion, you know, make sense? You understand what I'm saying? And I struggle with that, and I haven't quite got it. You know,
okay.
I'm not.
Well, I encourage you to sit down with some of your pro-life supporters and talk this out with them, because I think we don't have time to convince you that it's not my place here to help you along with that. It's just my place to get your views. But I do encourage you to sit down with some of your supporters and talk this through, because I think if you sit down and have a good long conversation with some of them, the issue would become a lot more clear to you, and it'd be easier for you to stand up and talk pretty solidly about it. So I won't keep you in a rock and a hard place. I'll move you on to the next question. Now, the next thing that's near and dear to my heart, because I have a husband in the military, and he's been deployed 4 times, and we have an issue in this nation that a lot of people don't even realize is an issue, and I really think that people need to look deeper into it, and hopefully you will too if you get elected. But what are your views on Islam? Do you believe that it's a threat to our nation? And if so, or I guess right now you're just worried about Colorado because you're running for Colorado State Senate, do you think it's a threat to Colorado? And if so, what are your plans? Do you have any plans to battle this issue?
I do think that radical Islam can be a problem. Now, as a country, we allow people to worship as they please. Whether or not it's I'm struggling to find the correct words, but you know, I just they can do what they want because of how the Constitution is designed. But, you know, radical Islam is a problem, and one of the things that really bothers me is that, you know, some people are actually considering, you know, wanting to have Sharia law. Now, not necessarily in this state, but I would try to make sure that not any kind of Sharia law would come into the state of Colorado.
Okay. That's good news to my ears. Absolutely, we cannot ever allow the slippery slope of allowing Sharia law to enter into Colorado's law books at any time ever in the history of our nation for the rest of our nation's history. It's just, it can't happen because it's not compatible with American law. So I'm glad to know that you're up on top on that topic. So,
mm-hmm.
What would you say are some of Colorado's biggest issues, and what are your plans for solving them?
A lot of the big issues that are facing Colorado are not strangers to the whole nation. The big thing is getting the economy and getting jobs within the state. The big problem with getting jobs into the state is you have to have a friendly business climate. And how do you do that? Well, you make it easy for businesses to set up shop, you know, lessen regulations. There's pages upon pages of regulations for businesses to fill out. If you notice on, I've listened to commercial radio and you hear companies that their sole purpose is to do compliance issues. Now, I it's such a wonderful country that you can come up with a company that does compliance issues and that's how you make money. But in a way, it's kind of sad that there's so many issues, so many regulations that you have to have a complete company that does that kind of stuff. Most of the time, executives spend a lot of time dealing with compliance issues and regulations, and they don't spend time with the customer. And that to me is a problem. Another issue is getting permits. You know, it should be easier to get building permits. Not that the state really isn't too involved in that. It's more a municipal issue. But, drilling permits, for instance, it takes thousands of dollars and, at least a year, a year and a half, 2 years to get a permit. Why would an oil company want to drill here when they can go to Texas, for $200 in a week and a half, they can get a permit for an oil well? I mean, that to me is a problem.
One thing that I've also heard through some of my studies and everything is that there's actually a whole lot of oil here in Colorado that is available or can be available maybe through some, additional technologies applied. But am I incorrect in what I've heard, that there's a lot of oil to be had here in Colorado?
No, you're correct on that. I think it's the Green River Formation in northwest Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, that has trillions of barrels of oil that we can get rather inexpensively. And, we're not doing it. The latest figures that I saw on unemployment on the western slope is around 19%. That's the problem. If you increase the tax base, if you increase, more people working, you increase the income, income coming into the state, and therefore you can afford all the programs and you can fund a lot of programs from the extra tax revenue, and you don't even have to raise taxes. And that's what I like to see. Make it easier for businesses to come in and set up shop.
Okay. All right, and I've got one final question for you. And that is, a lot of times when you're running for an office, things seem so clear to you. And then once you get into the office, there's so many other influences that take place and so much pressure to either get along or to buckle to the establishment or those sort of things. I'm sure you've thought of that and you're aware that those things happen. So what are you going to do to avoid buckling, like a lot of other people do, to pressures to do and vote on things that maybe go against what you believe in?
I'll stick to my principles. And because the principles of, it's part of who I am. And if I go against that, then I'm going against who I am. And I also, I would hope that, my Bible study group would, be a group that can keep me accountable and something I can discuss. Now, the ultimate decision is mine, how I vote. But, I expect, that my Bible study group to keep me accountable. But most of all, I think my wife will keep me accountable. And
behind every great woman.
Yeah, she is. She's a wonderful woman.
All right, I said I had one more question, but I actually have two more. So my final question is, this is something that I've been thinking very strongly about over the last couple of weeks, and I'm kind of springing this on you, and I haven't even announced it yet, but knowing that you've talked pretty much about your church and your brothers and sisters at your church, keeping you on track and keeping you grounded, in the future at some point in time, because my belief is that the Republican Party is becoming very diluted and almost tainted, do you believe that at some point in the time, if there was ever something like a Christian conservative party, what would you think about something like that starting up?
I'm not sure. The big problem is that, you know, this is a two-party system, and the Republican Party tries to have a big tent. And the thing is if you dilute it with another party, you pull votes away. Now, let's say even a Christian conservative candidate gets in to office, what can they do? Really not much, because ultimately it's who controls the chairmanships of the committees and who controls the legislature. I can't see where it would honestly be a good thing. I understand where you're coming from, but with a two-party system, it really doesn't work that well.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your honest answer. And being that it's a Saturday night and it's kind of late at night, I'm usually kind of short on phone calls, so I apologize nobody's called in to get any questions for you, but I promise you people throughout Colorado will hear the archive, and hopefully you'll get some response out of it and maybe some new supporters. And I really appreciate you coming on the show and talking to us tonight. If you have anything in the future, a message you'd like to get out or whatever, feel free to contact me. I'll do whatever I can to help you out, and I wish you the best of luck. Is there any last-minute thing, maybe a way that voters can get in touch with you that you'd like to leave them with tonight?
They can get a hold of me through my website. It's lionsforsenate28.com. You can email me through there, and I'll answer any questions that that come up. And I guess I have one question for you. Did I pass your test?
Well, there are a couple things I would still like to talk further with you about. The big thing, like I said, is abortion for me. I think it's a horrible wrong that's going on in our nation, and I'd like to talk to you with you more about that if we can at some point. That'd be great. After a little more conversation, we'll see how it goes. And I do wish you the best of luck. And I do believe that what I really like to hear is that you've got a church family that will keep you grounded, and that's always a good thing, and something that's needed in more and in more of our candidates and politicians these days. So hopefully, if you make it in there, that you'll be one of the good guys that we can count on to speak for us.
Well, I mean, that's my plan. One of the reasons I got into this was because I'm tired of, you know, exactly that, you know, politicians who keep on changing their story, you know, and I'm definitely concerned about my children. You know, are they going to have the same liberties and same freedoms that I had growing up? And that's really the reason why I'm in this. And another thing, I'm just tired of, you know, sitting. I mean, the reason I actually stepped up and trying to do something about this is, I'm tired of sitting in front of the TV and doing absolutely nothing about it. Sitting there screaming at the TV going, I cannot believe these people are doing this. And why doesn't somebody do something? And, well, you know, As Ronald Reagan said, if not now, or if not who, or if not, what's the quote? I just had it on the tip of my tongue.
I know the quote you're talking about. I can't remember it exactly either. But it's very relevant. We've all got to stand up, and that's one thing that just frustrates me to no end, is that people can sit back and complain, and they think they can just get on Facebook and complain and talk about things, and that's good enough. But it's really not. You know, we've got to get up, and we've got to do everything that we possibly can, because the future of our children is at stake here. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I've always found that people who do these sort of things to make a better life for their children and their children's future are usually the guys that do the best by us. So I appreciate hearing that tonight.
Well, I'm glad I answered your questions. If anybody wants to contact me, they can contact me from my website, lionsforsenate28.com, and I'd be glad to answer any questions that anybody has.
Wonderful. All right, sir. Well, best of luck to you, and I hope to be talking to you soon. And by the way, I didn't tell everyone listening that you are running for Colorado State Senate in District 28. So
yes.
If you're in District 28, go look up Mr. Lyons and see if he's the right guy for you. And I hopefully you'll get some new supporters out of this. So you have a great night, sir. And you know, invite everyone to come listen to my show every Saturday night. You're welcome to call in at any time if you've got some announcement you need to make.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, have a great night. Great talking to you.
Great talking to you. Bye.
All right, so that was John Lyons, Colorado State Senate District 28. He's starting out as a state senator or running to be a state senator, and hopefully, you know, if he ends up being one of our great guys, we can move him on to larger offices because we've got a lot of work to do in Congress. We've got a lot of people that we need to get rid of out there, and I think he's probably running. I didn't ask him about who he was running against. I meant to do that, and I forgot, but he's already off the line. But there's a lot of people that need to be replaced in Congress today. A lot of people all over the place that can be replaced, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, we've really got to stand by and support the good guys. And even if, you know, even if some guys come on and, you know, they're focused on the economy, they're focused on this or that, and not everybody can be ready for each and every single issue right off the bat. But that's where us voters need to get in there. We need to talk to these guys. And if they have an issue, you know, if they're saying, you know, I'm not 100% sure about that issue at this moment, well, get in there, talk to them, give them a phone call, go into their office and say, hey, this is the high and low of this. This is my big issue. This is, I want to talk to you about it. I want to tell you why. This is how I would like for you to vote and how I would like for you to feel about this issue. And see if you can't convince them, because these guys are representing you. And if he's not 100% sure how he feels on a certain issue, then it's your job, it's your duty to go in there and talk to these guys and say, hey, this is why you need to feel this way. And if he's leaning on the conservative way and you're a conservative, it's your job to go in there and talk to them and get them clear on that issue. So